testing, one, two.
Do we have more staff coming?
Five.
Yeah, Joe called and said that he was running a little late. He said, maybe you could just talk a little while before I get there.
Don't talk about anything important until he gets there.
Thank you. And we have Dale.
You sat over here, nobody's paying attention.
I'm sitting over here, back with Matt, this thing. Oh, boy. Give me more, I like seeing that.
That's funny. Kimberly Horn talks money.
Yes, sir, the public meeting notice was posted with the city clerk's office on January 18th, 2019. Yes, sir, Clark Handel.
Yes.
Valerie Fegan. Cory Hirschberger.
Here.
Mary Lee Hirschberger.
Here.
Ken Cabrigo.
Here.
Douglas Loudon.
Here.
Mike Needham.
Here.
Tony Yoder. She said she would be here, but she would have to leave after an hour. And Martha is excused. She had her commitment that she called me about and said she could not cancel. So we have a call, sir.
What do we need to do to satisfy the clerk about terminating?
Valerie.
She has missed enough meetings that we, don't we have a way we can just send her a letter and tell her that?
I'll look up that letter. It usually requires three absences, not three being excused three times, but three absences. She probably has that now. She notified me in the beginning of the school year that she wouldn't be able to make the meetings because she takes her son to school. And I don't know if that was supposed to count for all the meetings, you know, her excuse, but, I mean, I've been calling it an absence. I mean, if she would just drop an email to me and say, I need to resign, I can forward that, and it's that simple. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I spoke to her yesterday. She will be sending us a letter.
Oh, wonderful.
To step back for the time being until things balance out for her.
Okay, good. All right, thank you. Good, okay.
I knew Tony had talked to her.
That issue would expect to be resolved.
She feels very bad about it, but I told her no hard feelings. She was busy.
Carly, can I do that too? Can I just move it down?
Can I what?
Can I just move mine down?
No, she started over here. Joe mumbles and I can't.
How about that'd be good?
I'll tell you what, we're testing this morning. That's the weather.
And regarding the minutes, I'm actually not doing your minutes anymore. The city has contracted with a company, and all the CRA committees, their minutes are being done by this company.
Okay.
And a lot of the other boards and commissions are also done by the same company. They've been doing it for years, but they added the CRA committees onto the contract for this year.
Okay. So they use her notes and the recording.
Yes.
So her notes are so good that's why the minutes stay good.
What do you want from the desk?
That's what you told me. What are you going to say? No respect.
Oh, man.
I said, these minutes are good. They're not very detailed. And she said, well, it's because they took my notes, so.
Yeah,
I noticed the format had changed a little bit. That's kind of cool.
The format is standard without all the.
Yeah, pretty.
City meetings.
Well, I look forward to getting that. Okay. I would hope that I have not had an opportunity to read the minutes, but the chair will entertain a motion for approval and correction.
I will move to accept that presented and I get the evening.
Thank you.
I'll second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any carries? Early for the case. All right. So I went back through last meeting with minutes, myself and Saul, the cases we discussed, those are all still ongoing, so there's really not a whole lot of new happened other than what we discussed the last meeting. I know that one house with the tree through. That gentleman since gone to council since then and spoke and is trying to meet some resolve there with the city still, so we're still kind of back and forth in limbo on that one, but...
I can give information on that one. This is the tree that fell on the house.
Of the Rodriguez?
Yeah, I've gotten that one, taken over that one. He sued the city. He lost.
He
sued the city because the property next to his is belongs to the city of Ocala. And the tree that fell on his house was located on the city's property. It was an act of God that the tree was struck and it fell down on his house. And when the city tried to make reprimands, he didn't want to... He didn't want to agree to what the city was offering. He wanted a lot more. And so he sued the city, and the courts found the city not guilty. And he, the city has agreed to remove the tree from the house and to demolish his house because that's what he wants. So that has come to my plate. So I am working through that. I have to work with our risk management department because of the legal issues involved in the settlement. So I will be getting that demolished, and that will be wiped off, and the tree will be gone, and
this is
hopefully soon.
This is behind the barbershop, right on First.
It's on First. It's not... Well, is it behind the barbershop?
It's right there. It's not directly behind it. It's a lot down. I mean, it's right there close.
It's very close. So we are moving forward. We're waiting for the gentleman to respond to our human resource risk management director to set up a time so that he can come in and meet with him and I so that we can explain how we go about doing the demolition. And then I will get it done.
Well, that was definitely the most pressing one, the most obvious one. Like I said, the rest of them are still moving forward. Our process, as y'all know, is a slow one. So the rest of those cases are still moving forward, but really just want to get feedback from you guys and see if y'all had anything else that we can take a look at. If we're not already hitting it, we will. But, you know, we're happy to listen to you guys and see what y'all are thinking. Y'all are the ones that are over there as much more than us. So that's all I have. So like I said, I'm open to you guys if y'all have anything.
Anybody have any sore spots or any problems that you have noticed that need attention?
No.
No, we've never. One day we're, I know we've made some real progress and I'm real grateful for that, but we've still got that area out to, on the northeast quadrant of our CRA.
The housing section?
Yeah, back over, remember the trip that we took where there was the backside of a record company or somebody. A bank had a blue park on the house out there and had been there for a long time. I really look forward, if we see a bank in Magnolia move forward, if we have an opportunity to really pay some attention to all of our CRA. Code enforcement is very, very much in my favor. Thank you. Grant applications.
We have one grant application. Actually, two. Things on there. One is at 703 to 739 North Pine, which is this building here. Fairbanks owns the building. And the second one is back here on 4th Avenue. Fairbanks also owns that building. It's just simply parking out the surface for resealing and striping. Mike and I have an EMR out there last week.
Yeah, one day last week.
Yeah. So this one here is total cost of $3,487, so the grant would be $2,615. This one here, total project is $4,291, so the grant would be $3,218. So total request is $5,833.
Are those are two different parcels?
They're two different parcels, two different...
Not three parcels? In other words, the dark roof is one parcel and the two light-colored roofs are another parcel?
Yes.
Okay.
It's actually different owner. One's Fairbanks something and the other one's Fairbanks something else.
Still two parcels, though. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
In looking at it, it looked like it would be an improvement to our neighborhood. I know we don't get as much bang for the buck on asphalt ceiling and striping, but when it's up front, you know, like some of this is in the back, but when it's up front, it does make a difference.
Does it include the parking lot of the white building and the highway?
Not this.
Not that.
Yeah, this and this has already been done.
Okay.
It actually needed to be resurfaced because it was in really bad shape. So he did that previously. What he's doing is just the resealing.
What is the criteria? Does anybody have any questions or comments? If not, is there anything
left? I'll make a motion.
We have a motion.
I'll second it.
We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
It passes. Great. Is there another one?
No, there was a number of applications out there, and we've met with different people. They just haven't another application yet.
Did not someone talk to the person that's responsible for taking care of the Roberts building about doing some cleaning and painting at one time? The former Taylor Bean building. Didn't we? Am I the only one that remembers something that was said about trying to locate the person that was... That building was looking kind of dingy for years ago, I'm sure.
You talking about the multi-story building?
Mm-hmm. No, it's all been redone. It's all been redone. They didn't ask for a dime.
Wonderful.
Yep.
Great.
Yeah, we were surprised. I mean, but like Jeff says, probably dropping the bucket for them because that was probably a pretty big project.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, they had lifts and pressure cleaners and painters. And,
yeah. There's a building that's in front of where Tony operates her businesses and has out of state ownership.
Yes. From what I understand, she owns other property, maybe out on 441, and she's got issues with the city on them, and that's why she's sort of not doing anything with the building across from
me. Do you know the name?
I don't
know. It's not Ken Giglio's property, is it?
No.
No.
No. Yeah, we'll never forget him.
Really?
But I understand, yeah, she's got issues. And
he came in, he's selling everything he has, or he wants to.
Let's assume he wants billions of dollars.
Oh, I have no idea.
Yeah, because he came and got an application to have his building painted, and then he said he couldn't afford it. So.
Yeah,
right. I think it would be in good order to send the owners a copy of our grant and let them know that they qualify.
Across the street?
Yeah.
I've given them one.
Yeah, we've sent...
She has no interest until she resolves whatever she's got going on. It's property over behind, we used to be a motorcycle shop or something out here on 441, near the Dunkin' Donuts. I think it's back in there somewhere. But all I know is her maintenance man said she was having it out with the city and she wasn't doing anything, and so something went her way.
It's so strange that someone would turn down money.
Because it's a lovely building. I mean, it
is.
Well, I talked to a guy that had a big warehouse that was resealing, paving, painting, doing extensive amount of work, and I kept telling him, you can get assistance with this. You can get assistance with it.
Yes.
He said, oh, no. The city will come in here and the fire marshal will come in here. I said, man, they're not going to do that. I said, the fire marshal can walk in your door anytime he wants to. He don't need an invitation, but I said, that ain't happening, and it ain't going to happen, you know. But he was just leery, you know. I mean, I know there's people that, there's all kind of people that make up the world, and some of them are out there, you know.
Well, 14th Street, as it relates to your property and Tony's property, and if Taylor Bean has cleaned that area up, and your neighbor, the police officer, he has done some good things on his.
He deserves a community appearance award like Marvin got.
This building is really that's the only one, and it just doesn't look good when you have your twice yearly events. It's just.
Yeah, it is a shame, but again, it takes all kind to make up this world, and some people are just like that.
Well, in many cases, could be that we haven't talked to the decision maker. That we've talked to a representative of the decision maker, and to have a letter that went to the decision maker.
Who is the decision maker, do you know?
I have no idea.
Well, that'd be the owner.
To the property owner and the business owner, if it's a premise.
Well, if you would be so kind as to email to me, I'll call whoever is the decision maker and talk to her. And find out what her beef is and ask her to give some consideration to let us give her some free money.
You want to email the contact person?
Mm-hmm. Okay. If it's the decision.
Oh, they know that.
I can ask. I've got the.
You know, actually, Carl Zalek's property next door to that, who's the county commissioner, could use some sprucing up, and, you know, he doesn't have an asphalt parking lot, but I put that rock in there, and it looks nice and works great. He's got fencing issues. He could do some painting. Maybe we could contact him as well, because obviously he would understand how the wheels of government work, if anybody would. And that's just, like I say, it's money. I mean, it's hard to turn down. I just finished surveying my property. The guy just finished my survey on 14th Street. And so now I know where my corners are, and I want to consider, you know, some fencing, clean up my fence rows and get rid of all that old fence that's been there for 50 years. But that's what I was waiting on. And of course, I want to do some improvements to Magnolia as well. But Paul would know, you know, he would maybe a little, you know, reminder to him might spur them to do something.
Yeah, and let me take a look. I don't know if I can find anything, but back when Parker's was building that building next to it, I had to contact those people in Pennsylvania on some easements when it was under construction. Now I'm trying to rack my brain. That's not easy.
It used to be called Hill something. Hills. I don't know if that's her last name or
no,
not.
No, it wasn't.
Hills Imports,
and they had the import company in there. Cold Storage was already out, and they already had it, already changed hands. I'll see if I can find something, Clark. I don't know whether I can or not. It wasn't a big thing, so I don't know whether I kept a good file on that. Where it's hidden, I'm not sure.
Twice a year, Tony is having an event that's drawing a lot of people down. And every
every event gets better, and every event, we see things that we can do to make it better. As it relates to, you know, traffic, people coming and going, traffic control, and, but that would certainly be a good thing, I think, if we could commit that part of it. Let's get something done to clean up the building, let them know what.
So you're talking about the building across 14th Street from here?
Yes.
Yeah, the big white one, the big cold storage.
Yeah, the old cold storage building.
Okay.
Must be cold in there, too.
Joe, did we talk long enough that,
I got here. Well, you gotta blame my cows. They was hungry, and it was too wet last night, and I didn't want to put it out until this morning. So I'm sorry about that. They had to eat. Hey, let me pass seats around. Justin, you put, let me put my stuff there. I didn't have a chance to send this to you. Here, pass it around. I get laid one on your desk, and then I didn't, should have sent you a file, you could have put it up there. Right here. Anyway, right now, as far as our acquisitions on those, and one thing, no, here. The, what's in the kind of shaded green area on there, we already own. Now, that's been acquired over the last few years. But some of it, from the suburb on Northwest, Second Avenue, we just got, we were in the process of it when, at the last meeting. So that's kind of throwing that.
Those are four big lots.
Yeah, those are four lots, actually five. You got the one across the way from the street from it, too. Yeah. And, anyway, so that's starting to fill in. Henry's contracts, I was hoping to have it back yesterday, didn't show, huh? Yeah, okay. Martha was supposed to be, went through a long process with our friend Chuck, who was a great attorney, but, we'll lower things to death, he's a great guy. And we got it all straightened out, so it's supposed to be out for Henry's signature right now. So that's what's in pink, kind of like. What color is that, amber?
Salmon.
Salmon! Really? That's good. That's good. It looks like smoked salmon. So at any rate, that's a pretty nice package, and there's not other stuff kind of working in there. Along First, a lot of that, we have a lot of clothing on some of that stuff in there, and some of them torn houses down. They're vacant already, so we may be able to piece a lot more of that stuff on First into it. The little house in the front, which on 14th Street, at 14th Street between, runs from third to actually second, I guess, for that alley. I think the second doesn't exist anyway. Yeah, that's the only alley through there. I haven't contacted them for all them Ferguson ones, the cab companies in there. He lives there. I don't know if that would be, probably an expensive property to try and buy.
The cab company? I mean, the, that's one out there. On 14th Street.
Yeah, 14th Street. And Henry's keeping his office. That, what's in white there is where his office is, and he's keeping that. Which is good. He's going to, it's subject to a whole deal with him. It's subject to him processing a rezoning to, we put it as B4. It's B2. That will cover. Is that what it was? Yeah, that's it. And that'll cover his office use, and he'll be able to sell it as an office. And that makes sense on that road anyway. So that's about where I'm at in North Magnolia. You know, that's what we got going.
Does Henry's include this one up here, number 5, too?
Which one?
Originally, we had this property that he owned.
Oh, I didn't expand, I'm sorry. Yes, that's part of it all. Okay. Also, I screwed up. Yeah, that's in the contract. Now we'll see where 5 is, like on there. Yeah, I got a brand new pointer. I'm not using it. Look at that one. That's good. That's
awesome. Okay.
Okay. That's also part of Henry's contract. So it would bring in that. 6 would, cuts off right about there. We would have from him. That would be from Henry. And then we have all these lots along here and that lot there. And, of course, what's next to the cemetery over here. That's all in that one contract.
That property between 6 and the road, that's the Bear Hills property, or was? Up a little higher.
here? No, right above the, is that a six? Yeah, right there.
Yeah, it's through the house there,
That's where Barry Hill, that worked for Mr. Moxon for years, had, I think.
It's still under that name, I looked at it.
Yeah. And then Tina's across the street, her dad worked for Mr. Moxon.
Well, this whole area, he owned a bunch of this stuff.
Yeah, he owned all that.
At one time. We could keep exploring it as we go on, let's get that, we'll get him under.
Well, that property above six is probably not in the best of shape, the one across the street's like, almost, fairly new.
And this one is just not over.
Yeah, he gave that property to her to build that house.
And again, so this is not a, it's not in terrible condition, so you start talking about buying homesteads, you can get a little expensive.
Well, talking about affordable residential housing, I was in St. Augustine this past weekend, and a friend of mine actually has a house that was his wife's parents' house, been there forever, almost like a shotgun house. But he's a general contractor, and he's fixed it up nice. In fact, he's fixing to completely rebuild it because he doesn't want to move. And it's right downtown, so he can walk to everything. But literally, he's the only residence on the block that's still a residence. And the little house sits there, and there's a driveway on this side, and a driveway on this side, and then the next house is right next to that driveway, and this is an insurance company.
Mm-hmm.
And then this driveway, and then there's a house right here that's some type of a business.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just going to, he just wants to stay there because of the location. It could be commercial anytime he wants to, but he wants to live there. And it's that concept I was talking about, house, driveway.
Yeah.
And just make them affordable, which all that area back in there would.
I agree with you. And I would think that if we get Henry's deal done and we keep working on this stuff along here, which a lot of it's going to be code cases, we're going to get through foreclosures or whatever. We can have a nice package.
Yeah, and then put it up for somebody who's willing to.
And Gus will do his magic.
Actually, and the city, has an affordable housing program.
Yeah, we're
they have lots all over the city, and soon the whole thing's going to be put out as a package to bid on. Yeah.
And that's
not the shift.
And Dave's working on that real hard.
No, it's the city's lots. The city's going to put out like an RP, and invite people to submit proposals for affordable housing. So everything we have here could be included in that package.
Mm-hmm.
You have the infill properties.
Yep.
Thing you mentioned.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The nice thing when you can put a bunch together like this, you start creating neighborhoods. Yeah. That's what we had a lot of spotlights too, we'll be part of it, but. And if you have one or two of the older houses that someone's lived there forever and whatever, this is going to spur them to.
Like my house is that corner of five that's not a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
Right there. And, they're 80-foot lots. But 80-foot might even be more than you need. I mean, I live in the Villas of Stonewood, and mine's a 50-foot wide lot, because they're just...
Yeah, that's the way it's built.
But I'm just talking about some type of affordable, have a white picket fence up front and sidewalk and...
Yeah. Neighborhoods.
Yeah, just a, But you'd have to buy all the property and divide it up somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Will that be moving us further away and maybe having an attitude change about how we look at the parcel when we start offering lots for development? Are we losing sight of the big picture where we could have a park-like setting and have it redesigned? Wasn't that the purpose that we were really hoping to do, is to pick up these properties and get to the point to where we would get an RFP for somebody to come in and take a large area and redevelop that, maybe some single family, multi-family, some commercial along 14th, maybe park-like atmosphere.
So the idea for the infill housing program doesn't necessarily conflict with that. Basically, the way that the infill housing program would work would be if you have an area where we have enough lots in an existing neighborhood where there are vacant lots kind of scattered throughout, and we want for houses to go in there to replace those vacant lots where maybe there was a house in the past to uplift the neighborhood. Those will become part of that program, and it'll be broken out into character areas so that people who live in that area can come to the meetings. We'll have a series of meetings for each character area and say, this is the type of housing I want to see go back into my neighborhood. This is what I think would uplift my neighborhood. Those areas where we want to set aside for multifamily or commercial development, we just wouldn't include those lots in the infill housing program package. But it would go out after we got through the series of meetings and we know what we want to build in the neighborhood. We would put it out in an RFP for builders to come and respond to what the neighborhood wants. So we put out a few options, basically, and we take the soft costs out by saying, these are the specs that we want. These are the houses we want. This is exactly what we want in this neighborhood. And builders would just come in and build the spec. So that takes a bunch of the soft costs out, makes it easier for them to be affordable at that point, and build. But anything like that, basically we need to look at it comprehensively and say, this is where we want single-family homes in the existing neighborhoods. This is where we want something else. And just take those out and put them out in a different RFP for commercial development or multifamily development, something like that.
Yeah, well, I get to sitting here, and I kind of know where Clark's going. And we've like, if we were able to assemble, you know, a good portion like this where they're contiguous, and this is kind of broke from it. I mean, something like we're doing over in Tucker Hill right now could be a possibility where it created this little bit of a, you know, we redistribute the lots, whatever, and size-wise and whatever else. And we do have a project that, with the infill, we hope it's going to happen pretty quick in the Tucker Hill area. That took a, we actually ended up with a block of property. And we're not all done yet, but it's just about all acquired. And that's been, redistributes the lot lines or whatever, and just got a little parky area in it. And I think that's what you're talking about, trying to do.
So you want to reserve one of the, some area for open space park type.
Yeah, and we have in the past, and I still see women that are working there at Sightel. There's a lot of foot traffic up and down and around. And what I envisioned was just a total redesign of a large area, and then it could be, but I mean, personally, I don't think we're there where we can do that, but if we start putting lots that we have accumulated, then it probably will never get there. What do you think, Committee? What's your thoughts on that? There are mandates about how much park area you have to have versus the population. And there's other things that we need to pay some attention to. I think I would like to see a better design than just put affordable housing, row houses. I'm not really sure that we're there yet, but if we start putting lots out for bid, if the city chooses to do that, then we would never get to where I think our group had talked about what we'd like to see. But you know, life's all about change. We just got to decide.
Well, I think we've been talking about it for years and years and years and years, and we've all come to an agreement, even though I'm always preach commercial industrial. I have realized in the last whatever year that the residences are extremely important, or we're going to have a ghost town over there at night, and we're going to have a ghost town on the weekends. There's not going to be any traffic there. If we're going to increase the traffic on Magnolia, which is really kind of the number one goal,
for property values and for the people that have businesses that want to, you know, them to flourish, we're going to have to have some, we're going to have residents, just like downtown. You got to have residents down there or it's not going to flourish, you know. If you don't put people living down there, it's just going to roll up streets, you know. And so something over there, and as far as our other residential section, which is over there in front of Midstate Electric and behind asphalt ceiling and stripe and all back in there, I'm not sure that that is going to work because there's so much commercial in there already, big industrial properties and all the bigger properties in the middle that are still trying to hang on to that residential, you know. That's going to be more of an industrial park type area, I think. And this is our only area that I can see that, even behind my shop from there to 14th Street where there's some residential, that's losing its grip. So, I mean, this is it. And if we don't do something with it, you know, we're just going to keep talking years and years and years down the road and nothing's going to, I mean, we need to get going. We need the people in there and we need them as soon as possible.
I wanted to hear what you said also about allowing the residents to decide really what that general area is going to be instead of us doing, you know. We may see a vision of what we think would be really cool there, but if that population of people that live there really need something different, then we should be able to adapt to that. But I think you're right. I think the idea of bringing people there first and then the restaurants will come and then people will.
Yeah, you're not going to have the supportive businesses until you have the people. And if it just needs to remain 80-foot lots, it can just stay 80-foot lots like it is. And we just rebuild all them old houses that were, trees are falling on and that were bulldozing and that are falling apart, you know, and into you know, nicer block homes, you know, affordable, but.
Well, it's always been acknowledged that the reason that we were doing what we were doing was to have people relocate into that area. And I think it was an assumption among our group that people that would relocate in that area would be people that were employed in those businesses that we expect to bring in. I have no issue other than I think we are beginning to move away from what we felt like we were going to do. And if it's okay with me, I think that we should, you know, we just delineated what Imagine Magnolia was going to be two meetings ago.
Wouldn't you think as we see Blue fill in a few more spaces, we'll start to get a better vision of what we have available to us so we can expound on that a little more, maybe.
But if we put those lots that we have now in the inventory that's going out into this program that staff has put together, which I think is worthy because there's probably small lots on both sides of Pine Street, probably a lot of properties that the city has picked up over the years that could be used. I would think that it probably, while we're still in the planning stage, that we would not want to put our lots, we would ask that they not be included at this time and give us some time to think and look and see where we go with it.
You could also, you know, you could also consider 6 or 5 being multifamily, you know, apartments, or possibly even 7 Blades property, you know, Shashi, or the 2 10-acre parcels behind it, or a portion of that. Maybe leave 20th Street on 20th Street commercial and have a place back there for multifamily, yeah. You know.
I can see on 20th, we're going to have a nice ribbon of commercial property that could even maybe, because of its size, it could very well be light industrial. And then coming down Magnolia, then there's a possibility, there's still some room in there for redevelopment. right around Southern Blade, they're nice.
Yeah.
Lot of property back in there. So.
Well, you know, there's that big piece of property off 8th Avenue too that, it's wooded. You know, it's behind the properties that front 20th across from the livestock pavilion, but there's a big wooded area. And I actually saw some clearing and some work being done in there. I don't know what they're doing off 8th. I think it's at 5 acres for sale or something, but it's all heavily wooded, you know. So
David, when would this proposal be going out? Is there a date or?
The proposal probably wouldn't go out until at least a few months after the series of meetings started with the community to really figure out what we want to build there. And the series of meetings haven't started yet. We haven't started putting those together, and we probably wouldn't for this character area until we picked up more properties and figure out which ones we want to include from the get-go. And then even once we start, those properties that we include in the beginning, a lot of them could be taken out, or we could put more in if we had kind of a change in the direction based on the feedback we get in the meetings. But
so how many properties do you think you, I mean, we have two. So we probably have close to 20 potential lots.
Which is plenty for a character area. Anywhere we've got an area with, I'd say, probably 10 or more properties, I think is worth pursuing. And there are a lot of properties in any area that are city-owned that aren't going to be the best for single-family. And we're going to have to figure out, as a group and with the community involved, when we put single family in some of the places that do make sense, the infill that are between existing single family homes that are really embedded in the core of that neighborhood, what is the best way to redevelop what's around it? On the perimeters, maybe they could be more single family homes if you have them facing each side, but maybe it could be something else. Maybe it could be multifamily to increase the density a little bit, make it a little bit more feasible to get more, excuse me, more traffic on Magnolia.
Well, how about this, since we're not, I mean, it's not a pressing time, why don't we have a community meeting out there with the neighborhood and the property owners and see what they think?
Yeah.
That always is a good idea.
Yeah.
I think what we're going to find is we probably will still get some owners, but I believe a large part of that real estate out there is probably in the rental market.
Especially running up and going through here, Clark. Yeah, I think, I mean, I have to look at it. You get back in here, and it doesn't look like they're owner-occupied. It's where they're kept.
Mm-hmm.
And most of our problems, a lot of our code problems and stuff are more over it. Yeah. And these little houses along this side.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
So when would be good time for a meeting?
That we could have any time. We could have a preliminary meeting where we just kind of look at the overall area, have a map just like this and some aerials that we could lay out, tell people about the program, tell people about the vision for this area that we've talked about in the past, and figure out what sites people want to include in an infill housing program and what sites we might want to use for something else. Just get feedback. That can be very broad but structured so that people know how to give constructive feedback, and we can have that anytime.
If Joe continues, and I think, and I know that he will, and he's had good success in the past, and hopefully the people that have ownership out there now, if he continues, we have a pretty large piece of real estate there that we might want to take a look at just putting out an RFP for that area, for that one large area, and let designers bring back what would be single family, multifamily, and if that's something that's a suggestion, I'm just putting it at that point. I don't think we have enough property right now, but in 6 months we might very well have that much. Would you think, Joe?
Yeah, I think you're right. The stuff we're working on, we're trying. Try and package together, which is what we're talking about. I don't know whether, you know, we're looking at a residential area that would and it's in our mind maybe to try to look to service businesses around it so people had a place to live and walk, what you were talking about. And I don't know who's talked to her or who would do it, but, you know, how many employees does Sitel have in there, and then how many of them would like to live in our neighborhood? I mean, that's something that would be nice to know. You know, whether we could operate with their HR department or whatever, they might be able to give us some ideas. And now, I don't know where the Bay Building used to be. What's in there? There's a bank in there now? And a bunch of people working over there. I mean, I get some of them. I mean, every once in a while, I go check on the cemetery, and they're eating lunch in the cemetery. Because it's a nice... They don't make a mess. They don't make a mess. They put benches in there not that long, you know, a couple of years ago, and I just added some. And it's a peaceful place to be. So they walk across the street and eat lunch.
Well, we've felt like all along that if any redevelopment in that area, if it could be incorporated around the park-like setting, then...
Mm-hmm. Like the cemetery.
Probably would never be as peaceful as the cemetery.
I tell you, another thing that I found being in the rental business, people don't rent them. You know, you got people that it's not the American dream anymore to own a home. People want to rent. They don't want any headaches. They want to call somebody else. They don't want to pay taxes. You know, mm-hmm. They're perfectly happy living their entire life renting. Yeah. You know, that may bode well for an apartment building or affordable rental houses. You know, not necessarily something that somebody's going to own. They're still going to live there. They're still going to support the neighborhood. But I've talked to a ton of them, and they have no desire whatsoever. It's just not the American dream anymore, like we grew up, you know. And
we do have a lot of unmet demand in our rental market right now in particular, which is artificially inflating prices in the rental market as well.
I'm shocked at them.
People are getting for residential. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. They're nuts. It's been that way for the past few years. When I first moved here a little over 2 years ago, we were originally looking, my wife and I, for a place to rent, and the rental prices were just so sky high compared to what it takes to buy that we ended up buying as soon as we moved here. But not everybody can afford the down payment a lot of times now.
That's the thing, you know. When we were young, we worked three jobs just to save up down payment on a house, you know, whatever it took. And they don't do that today. You know, they don't sacrifice what they need to sacrifice because it causes the initial getting in, you know, and of course credit. Credit doesn't seem to be as important as it used to be.
I think this conversation is very healthy, and I'd like to see it on the agenda for next meeting. And that'll give us all some time to think and move and go out. And we'll be better prepared to maybe move forward into a decision process. What do you all think?
I just want to see it done. I'm tired of talking about it.
Let's spend the money.
I like the idea of the affordable housing because a lot of times you've just got to start somewhere and then that attracts someone else, like, right. Look what they're doing. Maybe I should buy all of this and get it.
Whenever I first got married and I lived on 44th Avenue, right next to the Villas of Stonewood between 7th and 14th, a contractor came in there. Now, this is 1971. No, this is 1975.
Well, you're old.
Yeah, but he came in there and he bought every lot across the street that was vacant and he built. Three bedroom, one bath homes, about as cheap as you could build them.
And we're talking
had
about
wall, you know, Wellington building.
Yeah.
Had a wall hung vanity, you know, wall hung lavatories, no vanities. You know, starter kitchens, vinyl floors. I mean, as cheap as you can. And people are still there today that bought them brand new and have fixed up. Some's added a garage, some's added on. Some are just like they were. Like doll up the front of them, but I don't know what the cheapest per square foot that you can build nowadays.
Well, if you want something decent, it's going to be over $100 a square foot.
Yeah, well, I'm saying decent and affordable is two different things.
Well, I mean, you want it affordable,
yeah,
but you want it,
yeah,
nice.
Well, that
The construction's never going to be affordable.
Right.
It's the subsidies that make the payments affordable to the family.
Well, now we're all going right back down to not trying to build houses that people can afford to buy that they can rent. Still live in our neighborhood, still work in our neighborhood, still support our neighborhood, but some investor's going to have to do all that and rent it out.
Is there any more information we can give you prior to the next meeting that would help you? Or should we just go out and lock the area at our next meeting, or what?
I think we should do that before the next meeting.
Yeah.
We, as a board, need to do that either, so we can come up with some ideas individually.
That sounds perfect.
Very good to me.
Yeah, I'm happy and comfortable with that.
We could do something like that as a group and as a part of a community meeting too, if you wanted. That would kind of get at both goals of being able to talk this through more and getting the ball rolling at the same time. We can set something up, have it.
So maybe early March, our meeting's at the end of March, we can have a community meeting early March. And
sure. Yeah. You all put it together and send us the information, and we'll do our very best.
Okay.
But it's important that we do that.
Yeah.
And if we want to invite the neighbors, I don't know how you would.
Yeah, we'll send a mail out to the. We can start indoors, do some workshop stuff, and then. For anyone who can stay for the second half, we can go walk the area.
Okay.
Can do both.
Ride it. Let's not walk it.
That sounds better to me.
Well, it's really the reason that I say
we'll
that.
Get those one of those things you stand on.
Oh, yeah. Segway. Segway transfer. I do. Joking.
Proper question. Imagine Magnolia area, which would be all the way up.
On my website, look what it is.
There's a lot of lake
around there.
I don't
know. It's just a lot of time, but I mean,
there's more than just what we already have.
You're not the thing which
that could become available.
Shouldn't we make arrangements to get some kind of bus to take everybody that wants to go?
Yeah, we could do that.
Yeah.
As opposed to that'd be easier to have everybody in
that
place.
Yeah.
Okay.
Go Disney.
Okay, well that's great. I'll cap that and then we'll feel like we're moving in the right direction. Okay, project updates and other items.
We'll go to the North Magnolia Relandscaping Project. Mike Mullis is here from Family Home.
Hey, good morning.
Hey.
See you guys again. Good morning. Here for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. And So when we last met, we got some good information from you guys on, you know, what you guys envisioned out there as far as reality is with the initial plantings that were put out there of some of them have kind of lived their life and looking at replacing some of that. And so what I've done today is walk this corridor front and back, one end to the other. And, you know, my take is that we have two scenarios within the. On this side, on the eastern side, we have that transmission line that's running down that whole length. Mm-hmm. And you can tell from the plants that were initially selected over there, crepe myrtles, Yopon hollies, the pears, those are all kind of those lower type plants that they'll allow to be planted, quite frankly, underneath the transmission line because they won't get tall enough. Maybe one day they can get tall enough, but right now they're really good size, actually. And then on the other side, on the westerly side of the street, there is no transmission line, so there's a big form of mix of yopon, sable palms, and, you know, some storefronts have done a little bit along the edge as well. So as I walked along, my initial goal was to try to figure out what materials were worth keeping and what materials were needing to be replaced. And so this is just an overall view of that section of road. And before I forget, the auto parts place, or the Yeah. Right here, the yard part. So here's the rail track.
That Barlow?
Barlow. When I parked and went in and talked to them, you know, so I could walk, and when I came back, she said, well, what are y'all doing? And I told her, we're looking at kind of, so I hear they're buying a bunch of properties. I really don't know. You have to talk to the board. She goes, well, tell them to call me. So if y'all are interested, I think you might have somebody interested in selling.
Yeah, I can imagine. He's returned to work.
So this is just a blow-up. And again, as you walk up, and I apologize, it's a little hard to see, but limits of work, we just picked a rail track here on the southern end. And as we work our way up, our initial goal was to try to sort out where the right-of-way is. Versus where these storefronts are, parking lot edges are. And what we found is that, you know, there are scenarios where the right-of-way, let's say, is 3 to 5 feet off the back of the curb, that the storefront is 2 to 3, maybe 4 to 5 feet, in some cases, off that right-of-way. And I know we had talked about is if we do something along that corridor, in those instances where it's so close, you know, should we consider, you know, going all the way to that storefront with whatever that treatment was. So as you go up the street here, in my humble opinion, and I welcome y'all's feedback, is that there is a lot of good plant material along this edge. Those great, some, a lot of those crepe myrtles on the eastern edge are really nice. They're full, they're big canopies, they're already over the sidewalk. I don't personally see a reason to, you know, remove those and put in smaller stuff. So we've gone through this as an exercise of kind of a, you know, plus is good, minus is bad, and let's go. And so we have some crepe myrtles that we want to save. All the pears would be coming out on the entire project on both sides. They're just, they've lived their life. You know, they are really, those would be the best candidate if we're going to replace trees, would be your pear trees for sure. And of course, there are some crepe myrtles along the edge that aren't so nice, and we would look to replace those. And there's been some hedging and trimming near signs and things like that. That have, you know, the only thing left on the crepe myrtle is this. So as you go along here, we had already started doing some layouts where we're going to have. The existing trees that we're going to maintain as well as replace. And I think what's missing there, what could really help the area from an aesthetic standpoint, is just a simple ground layer, shrub layer. And we would want to use things that are appropriate, tough, don't require a lot of fussing over, and that's really just a handful of plants that we use very successfully in a lot of roadway projects. And as an example, muley grass is a really good one. Kunti is a really great shrub, a native shrub, and of course, dwarf Takahashi grass. And so those are three types of plants that we could plant along that edge that wouldn't require a lot of fussing. And whatever contract we did, like, so whatever we end up doing as a planting plan, there'll be notes and specifications, and specifications will require the contract to warranty the material for a year. Number one, maintain it over the course of that year. But after establishment, you know, this stuff's not going to require a lot of fussing. It just doesn't. Once it's in the ground, you know, muley grass, kunti, these plants, they grow everywhere. Without irrigation on them every day, and all these things. So you can kind of see, we tried to do a graphic here to illustrate this green zone here of where we've been doing our improvements. Gotta click one more here. And then here's the northern end. Now, we'll note, I've seen a laser pointer. Who knows a laser pointer? That'd be awesome. Look at that. Get down some pears. Along this edge here, it's fairly tight against the improvements on the properties. So what we would propose is we're not only going to work within the right-of-way areas, but we would do some improvements near the parking lots, near the edges. But it's pretty tight there, so there's not a whole lot of room, and so we're going to fill the whole zone. You know, we did note there was irrigation components, and one of the questions I had was, is that each individual store owner's irrigation, or does the city have any irrigation in that?
If my memory is correct, Mike, when we did Mustangoia, And that was Liz, I think Liz was on that machine now. I think they had temporary irrigation.
They did have irrigation.
Yeah, they put it in, so probably over the years it's been cut or whatever, but...
Yeah, it was a mixed bag of butlers and sprayers and whatnot. Well, and that's certainly something we can dig into once we get into the contract documents is, requiring the contractor to provide temporary irrigation through establishment. Because again, the material that you got out there now is all native and it's doing great without irrigation. And of course, whatever we plant, we want to use natives. It doesn't require a lot of fussing either. So again, on the eastern side where we have the transmission line, this is really nice and tight. So that's a nice, easier approach. As we go down, these Joe ponds are really nice actually on this corner. Those Joe ponds are nice, and there's a really beautiful live oak in that parking lot there. That's really just a nice backdrop. So some repairs and things in that area, we were thinking we don't need to replace those. Let's just leave it open and you can see the nicer tree here. And we'll just jump across from 9th Street down. And you have your sables and then the yopons here and the pears in front of these guys. They've done some hedging already. But you can see just from where we've shown plantings that we really like to keep a lot of the stuff you have, only replace a handful of the trees and get that ground layer established better.
I think that's an excellent idea. But can we incorporate something that blooms and has flowers?
Oh, absolutely. So the muley grass is a good one because, you know, in the fall you get that nice blast of purple that lasts for a good couple of months. I agree with you. The trying to find a good flowering plant is something that we can strive for.
Well, I happen to like grass plants, so I think it'd be nice that we had something flowers. And also some areas on the eastern side, would it be worth it? Would it be possible? There's a kind of a condo warehouse directly across from the animals. And there's a large area between the parking lot and the right of way. How would you handle a situation like that? Or
is this on this, and I apologize, is that on this corridor? Is it?
Yeah, it's on the 800 block.
So up here? So this is the end of the limits here.
Okay, come on back down somewhere in that area. A little further up.
And right here?
There, on the other side of the street. In there.
So this is the one of my favorite places to eat, the Cuban place.
Well, it is.
That's back down.
Back further down.
And I'm wondering, because I don't recall seeing this.
That was your corner.
They've got a big tree right on the corner.
Well, that's the, there, back up one. These guys, is that what you're thinking? Because that is a wider area.
Clark, there's your office right there.
Confusing.
No, your office. There's your corner lot's right there, and then your office is sitting there.
Top
button. Where's your yard?
This is Daniel here.
Yeah, and
right there. And it's right across.
Yeah, right across.
And then this is
ABC.
Yeah. This is 9th Street.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is directly across from my warehouse.
Yeah, that little center where Secrets used to be. You remember that?
Yeah.
So, and I apologize. So these are our first exhibits we put together. And first thing I said to them, I need my street names on here. Yeah. So the next time you see these, we'll have the street names, the business names.
Well, one of our members who happens not to be here today, they have a carpet store. And there's a large area they're building, and one of her concerns over the years, and mine as well, that I saw my problem because I put Mexican petunias all the way across.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Because I didn't want the people mowing because they tear up more than what they fix. And she had that same problem in front of her. And
hers is sloping.
It would appear to me that it would be in our best interest to... We could expand back in some of those locations. We're trying to keep mowers out,
right?
And beautify the area. That's the purpose.
Yeah, and so when we first looked at it again, we have an assumed right-of-way line from the GIS information that we were given, and it does a little bit of this within the right-of-way, which makes you, you know, say, is that how accurate is the GIS, you know, it's plus or minus all these anyway. But as you just said, there are circumstances where there's more room outside the right-of-way to the hard edge of the business, you know, and how do we want to treat that? And so a question I had was, let's say we stay within the right-of-way, obviously that would need to be maintained to some level, and I'm assuming that's the city's responsibility to maintain within the right-of-way. But if we were to, you know, and I'm just talking out loud here with you guys, if we were to improve the zone outside the right-of-way to the business front here, and we did it there, and you know, these different spots where it's really tight. Is that
on the
property owner, correct? Or does the CRA have a maintenance agreement?
Well, we have a grant that would pay for the installation of the landscape, and they would have to maintain it, but we would pay 75% of the cost. It'd be good to have it all designed as one.
Mm.
Well, I agree. It'd be nice to have, you know, some thought. And so that's what we were going to, that's how we were going to proceed, is like, ultimately we'll figure out there's going to be a line somewhere between the front door and the back of curb that is right-of-way versus the private owner, but we don't want there to be this hard edge in a 3-foot strip of grass or vice versa planted in a 3-foot strip of grass. So we're going to look at that and provide you guys some design ideas to think about. And then we can coordinate on the maintenance, I guess, at a later date. I just bring that up because we were talking in the last area, it doesn't matter what you do, if it doesn't get taken care of, if that's not taken care of, it doesn't matter. So,
excuse me, Gus, you're saying, like, I just had my property where my business is surveyed, and so I have 2-foot strip of grass in front of my property, and according to them, about 6 inches of it belongs to the city and about 18 inches of it belongs to me. So technically, you couldn't plant on, it's not legal for y'all to plant on my property. That wouldn't
well,
be.
If you would have to agree, and then you would have to apply for a grant, and then.
So I'd be responsible for 18 inches, and I'd be responsible. I just do that. I mean, but what you're saying basically is you can't do on private property.
Unless you agree and
then pay for it.
You have to pay 25% and okay. You have to maintain your part.
I
well, what we're trying to find is we're trying to find items that you would use that you have to do no maintenance. Mm-hmm. Running grass is a classic. Mm-hmm. I mean,
as an example, yes.
You will spend 10 hours a year maintaining that. And the same thing with Mexican petunias. And there's other things. I mean, you plant them and they're going to grow and they're going to spread and that's it. You don't have to deal with them. Let them alone. Once a year, I go out and I cut my foot back down to about 12 inches. And then as spring comes along, it starts to move up. That's what we're trying to find.
Well, and it's good that it's
not going to require so much maintenance.
Right. It's low. It's a nice separation between the two properties, but it doesn't require a lot of fussing. But it's just that extra little touch. So, you know, I guess the good news is we did the four-wheel walk and we've looked at this, and there's nothing out there that you say, well, this is just, you know, making paychecks. This is pretty straightforward, pretty much meat and potatoes. So the next time I see you guys, what I'll have is this is... these will just be refining, get some labels on there, but we're going to go a little bit further and get a little closer down into individual properties. You know, we'll probably cut these in half and blow those up a bit and we'll have the individual properties. And we'll start to develop a short list of those scenarios as you described where it's vacant lot, we're going to go to the right of way, we're good to go versus we got a storefront 6 foot off. Sounds like the city's willing to let us design on your property, but there's probably coordination on who's cutting checks later as far as the material and all that. So we'll have a short list of who those are for the next meeting. But, you know, our ultimate goal is to get you a, you know, construction document that we can get priced out. So, and so thank you for guessing. When is your next meeting? A month or May?
2 months.
2 months.
28th of March.
What? Probably going to be less than that. You know, they cost you you for, at a later than a month today, get y'all a nice and middle with that, more in it.
That's fine. Yes, you can get a copy of it. Our goal is, once we finish, when we go to 10th Street, then we'd like to take from the north side of 10th Street and then go ahead up to 20th and do the stair of the Miracle Mile all the way up. So that's what our goal is.
Well, what we'll do is, so what I envision giving you guys next is it's a really good format. It's going to be 11 by 17 document, similar to this. And what we'll do is we'll have our summaries, as well as the plan views blown up, you know, just something like this format here, just 11 by 17 document. So we'll have the information that we've done as far as data collection, the right-of-way lines, assuming that, you know, what we have, the scenario that we just talked about of properties close enough to do stuff on their properties. We'll do some sections to help illustrate, you know, what we're talking about out there as far as Great Myrtles on this side with some ground story and ground playing, and over here with your sables and some kunti and some other nice. So we'll get that. And then I can also see giving you guys some choices on the plant materials, you know. So I mentioned three that I know work really well and, you know, are very hardy, and they you know, pretty cool when you mix them together down the corridor. But certainly we could pick, you know, a handful of different plant materials for the corridor. So if we're going to continue this on, you know, this improvement, we don't necessarily want the same three plants for, you know, 1 mile, 2 miles, 3 miles. We want to get some variety in there, right? So we can develop the overall, you know, here's your tree list for under power lines, here's your tree list for not under power lines, and then here's your ground plane, which will have 3 or 4 different grasses, 3 or 4 different shrubs flowering, you know, with the goal of getting seasonal interest. And if there's critical intersections or more important intersections, it could be as simple as doing a perennial or annual bed in certain locations that, you know, really pop, and you've got somebody coming in 3-4 times a year swapping out, you know, plant beds just for your annuals and things like that. So if there's any future signage or things like that are going in that zone. So it'll be, you know, picture 8-10 page kind of thing that I can get you guys over the next month. And then when I see you in 2 months, we've gotten sign-offs on things and we're finalizing the document.
Yeah, if you get it to me, I'll get it to them, and then they can comment on it before we come back.
Perfect.
Mike, the only thing I said, we talked a little bit about the right-of-way lines last time. I have found out that, you know, where I thought these street plans were, that they're not there. But they have, I believe they're all digitized. And I believe even from Gary Hansen through Oscar Tovar, you can get them. You know this guy. You know Oscar, don't you?
Well, and if you want them, at this point, I think we're okay.
You think okay? Okay.
Because
the partial sketches, I know where they are, but they're not digital.
I'm not so much worried about the exact right-of-way line.
I mean, because the reality is when we did this thing out, we had plan counts and square footages, and, you know, I just can't imagine if we planted a 3-foot strip, the reality is that's one plant in a line. Mm-hmm. If it's 6 inches off, we're not going to add a shrub, it'll be a little bit more mulch. It's a bit of a blurred line. You know, we're not going to have flags or anything going down that. It's just that improvement zone, and just that picture as you're going along, and we get in the storefronts, we just need to coordinate with those owners.
If they got you.
They've already got hedges. Some of them are doing, some properties are, you know, have more than others. There's some signage down the street there. Here's an example. There, as part of the streetscape of Richmond, there's 1, 2, 3 crepe myrtles here. This is an example. Now, they've got a nice planting, it's a hedge that they keep up, but there's a sign right here that's everybody that's in there is listed on. And if those crepe myrtles look like the ones just south, they're nice and big, you wouldn't see the sign. So over the time, they, you know, all that's left is stem with an apple on the end. There's 3 of them. So would we say put 3 new ones back? No, let's not put any more in there. You have the beautiful live oak, and they've got a really nice ground plane, and the sign is very visible. We just need to get the dead ones out there. So, like I say, there's nothing that you can be honest that just makes you say, wow, this is not an achievable goal. I think what you already have is really beautiful, and this next layer is just going to enhance that. So, mm-hmm. So we're excited to get to you, you know, the final plans. You know, so. Any other questions? Good.
Okay, sounds good to me. Thank you. Okay, any other comments?
We have the part of them that we worked on, we presented, so we're just waiting if you could give us something you want from the North Niagara Merchants to put in, if you want.
We do want to. I'm sure everybody that's around this table is as busy as I am.
Yeah.
Not something that is our forte. Probably takes 4 hours to what someone with a real wordsmith could come up with in 30 minutes.
You got things like the boundary of Imagine Magnolia has been established, and
we could decide on the date of the community meeting,
You could put, you know, the property, you know, we're in the process of acquiring properties, you know, somehow let people know that that's one of the things we're doing and that these will be available for development.
The
discussed housing.
The grants that have been completed, I think we should have something in there, some maybe some before and after pictures or something like that. If we can
Yeah, we have that.
We have it.
But I was thinking something more specific to the Merchants Association if you wanted to, whatever.
New business in the area?
Yeah, we have that.
We got Wildings antiques. Yeah. I might want something about the various antique shops and thrift stores we've got in our place. We've got, Tony, you've got a...
We're becoming a destination, man.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be big, just half page. Sandy will throw it in there.
Is it possible that... We are beginning to experience some traffic issues along our corridor across the 10th Street, railroad 10th. I think if we could have a representative from the police department to come and let us, we need to do something. Put one of those devices that shows people what speed is. And it's getting really out of hand. And it's motorcycles and people that are just using that area for just like a dragway.
Well, we were having a big issue.
I'll say Arch Street's bad for that, 14.
Yeah, we had a big issue with Magnolia when they didn't pave because everybody took so long to go across Magnolia because they were having to, you know, go over those. Yeah. Now they fixed that now.
Yeah.
And that held up traffic terribly, but it's definitely...
You got it at 10th Street?
Yeah, 10th Street. You know, they finally paved it to where you can drive across. I think a lot of people come up there not sure it's been paved, but...
Like going over a 40-foot railroad.
Right. And it's getting better in that respect.
And we could also get a report on the police activity in our area. We used to get that, and we don't get that anymore.
Okay.
We don't know who's in charge of our area. I don't stand out there looking for law enforcement, but I just don't happen to see that. You know, their side of the story, too.
And let him report first and go if he needs to. Don't make him sit over here.
We don't want somebody to come here and stay an hour, full hour.
Yeah.
Come stay for 15 minutes, and we'll let him go first. And But I think it's important that, we need to know about things.
I'd be very interested in some of the things that they used to talk about, and crime and, mm-hmm. and things that were going on in our neighborhood that were extremely helpful.
Okay. We have used our hour plus. Any questions or comments?
One quick thing, banners. Mike told me that we didn't have a banner to go up when they took down the Christmas. I thought we got spring banners out of our last.
Justin told me this was the only time of the year he took a banner down and didn't have one to put up. Then he has to take that bottom, rail off and store it. And I thought we were trying to get
signs when they were ordered.
So
you're kidding me, right? All that work I did and the emails and everything, and they never.
I have to take a look. So, I don't think there was a second one. I'll have to check on that.
It'd be nice to take one down, put one up every time he does it, rather than leaving them vacant.
And everything.
And he actually, like I say, removes that bottom rail. He used to slide it up so people wouldn't hang on it and break it, and it just looked so bad. He said, I just got in the habit of taking it off. I store it in my shop, and when I go to put the banners back up, I put the bottom rail back on.
Justin, we really depend on him to do the right thing. Now, we store some things at YBM. He comes and knows where they are. He comes and gets them and brings them back and puts them up. Everything works.
Very conscientious and does a good job.
He has a lot of interest in our neighborhood.
To do in our best interest.
Which I think is great, but a banner has a lot. And when we have the funds, I think we really need to take some. What is the condition of our banners? I wonder if one of the youth
they're not used anymore.
Well, we need to replace those. And Floyd, what is the rough cost? What are we looking at average? And I know it has to go for bid. I understand that, but just where are we with the money? What should we have to pay?
They're on about a 4.5 piece per banner, 450.
For each banner?
Yeah. For across the street banner, yeah.
We have a good relationship with Justin. Justin takes good care of our stuff. And when we buy a banner, I think we could conceivably, get 5-8 years out of it?
Oh, more than that, probably. I think we've had these when we got up there, remember? 10 years
or more,
yeah.
Okay, well, I would like to see us buy new banners. What
is there CRA money to do that? Or do we?
It was in our budget a year or so ago, because we supposedly ordered everything that was up to our budget, and
Holly, would you see? Check with it and come back at us and tell us what we can spend, and then we'll buy banners and then we'll take care of them and use them.
Those cross street banners, there's one on Magnolia with, I guess that's the big concrete poles with the. Do we have two of those?
Yeah, there's two. One by Yandles and one up right on the curve.
Okay, so we got two on Magnolia. And I don't know that I recall seeing any banner up recently.
Yeah, it was up. The Christmas banner was up.
There was a cross street banner. Okay. I wonder if we could promote our facade grant with a cross street banner. Is that legal or appropriate, or to try to get people?
I don't know that. We're expanding the scope of people, and I don't know that that's, I don't know what the answer is, because I just don't know why people don't do it. I can't tell you why. I know they're busy.
If you got hundreds of thousands of dollars in the budget, if it's appropriate, it's cost $150. I don't see why you wouldn't at least try,
But like I said, there's...
But it may not be, it may not qualify. Holly would have to check that.
I've met with at least six
people that have applications that are going to submit at some point. I don't know.
I know. So, I mean, you got people that get approved and then don't do it, so.
I just
don't understand it myself.
Yeah, once we raise it to 75%, you can't do any more than that.
Right.
I would like, but I want these half dozen or so people, I'll just contact them.
I would like to have somebody here. Who is our traffic manager? Who controls the streets and
traffic
recommendations?
Engineer. Used to be Wayne Little for years, but I don't know if he's not.
Who does that?
Long time ago, Wayne.
So traffic control, do you find him?
Well, it should be a traffic engineer for the city, somebody.
Noel.
Yeah, probably Noel.
Noel Cooper.
Are you talking about the speeding problem or something else?
No, we're talking about signals and
traffic, you know, intersections and driveways and.
I would like to have somebody that whoever that person was. You're right, Little was, and he came to see us a time or two. But I would like for us, our group, to know so we can disseminate the information as we're able to do so to find out what's going to happen along Midtown, North Mag, Earth. We really need to know what's going to happen. What's going to happen to Wautula? What are these catalytic sites going to do to our traffic? Why do we have a traffic signal that goes into the courthouse? What I just would like to ask and talk to that right person and let them know that there's somebody out here that's interested. And along with traffic counts, but I know where to go to get them.
Yeah.
But who is that person that is involved in traffic design?
We can talk to
you. Well, I can let us know.
Planning, we have a planner, Aubrey, is. And Ian and working with engineering, conceptually looking at First and Magnolia in Midtown and downtown. Well, actually, it's a wider area. So when that gets to a stage where it's almost complete, we can present that to you. Maybe the March meeting would be good for that.
Okay.
No, they are planning on getting rid of some of the streetlights right now, is what the plan is.
It's just unnecessary on Magnolia. You have two traffic signals that are just useless. Mm-hmm. Totally useless. Mm-hmm. Now, in 1950, they were necessary. But now, they're not.
Why don't we talk to the city engineer and Noel? He does some traffic work. He's also an engineer. Figure out who would be the best person to come and talk to you all about. We'll make sure that they're here.
And we never want to forget the fact that we have such limited access into the Miracle Mile and to the new hotel. I don't think First Avenue is going to be the option. I really can't think that. I would like to see us refocus our thoughts and use Magnolia as an entryway, make it a two-way.
And you got a turn lane off of 40, you got a grass area off of 40 you can use for a turn lane. And then you're actually using Magnolia to enter North Magnolia instead of First Avenue. We've got some ideas. We're not traffic engineers, so we're not ready to tell them how to do their job. We just have ideas.
Yeah, you know, we just like to
That's how planners feel too. I personally would love to take all of those one ways and to convert them all to two ways. But engineers don't always think that's a good idea.
No, well, I just think it's kind of a no-brainer. But
how about 9th Street? Where are we? We're still looking to get that
little protective device.
Yeah. Okay, whatever you want.
Yeah, to write. I was leaning towards. About 10,000 volts on a wire.
Yeah.
Or we love that.
Buy into that.
I don't know. It's the time my friends tell me I'm hasn't gotten back to me.
Okay.
I was out there last week, the guys on the road, supposed to call me yesterday, didn't, so.
Anytime during the week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I'm in the office.
I guess, I just gotta get something we can attach to, but I can make, no, make her happy.
So where we are.
That's not 10,000 volts.
The engineering department just completed their final review, so the consultant's making the final changes.
Okay.
We're working on the easement.
Mm-hmm.
With Irving.
Yeah.
He just wants some kind of extra security.
Yeah, we want something, other than concertina wire.
On the back side of the fence, so, yeah.
Make him happy.
So anyways, we're working on our capital budget for next fiscal year, which starts in October, so. Of course, we got Ninth Street coming up, we got North Magnolia Landscaping. We got money in to do projects in Imagine North Magnolia. We don't know what they're gonna be, but we have money set aside for that when that time comes. Is there any other capital type projects that we should be thinking of in addition to those three?
Only thing I think about is a little money. I mean, we'd like to have some better Christmas decorations when time comes.
Mm-hmm.
We don't ever, it is so very important to me, and I believe this, that it's important to everybody that's in the North Mag area. We don't ever want our neighborhood to get to where it's tainted or it's shabby looking. And whatever we can do and need to do to keep it fresh, I think it's the right thing to do. But I don't know.
What has happened with our entry on 8th Avenue and 14th Street? We have done renderings and everything for welcome on that corner. Is our?
Yeah, I'll have to, I know Ty was working on that, but I'll have to get with him. And the last thing, you have the draft of the front section,
mm-hmm,
of the update, mm-hmm, of the redevelopment plan. Obviously, we don't have time to go through it today, but
our next meeting will be a good meeting, and we'll have everybody
here. If you have questions, call me. If you need me to come out to your place and go through it with you, that's fine. Just let me know. Otherwise, we'll put it on the March agenda.
Okay.
2 hours.
Can you give us a little, just a little short summary of how things are in the day? I don't hear anything about the downtown CRA or Ford. How are things going in the CRA, especially the one downtown, and how is it relating to Midtown?
Well, we put the fire station site, the old fire station number one on Watto and Third,
mm-hmm,
that is out for RFP again. There's a mandatory pre-bid meeting January 30th.
Does that include the condos or the?
That includes the whole block.
Okay.
So from second and third, Wachola to Sanchez.
They're looking to do a restaurant there, is that right?
The concept. They want, the concept is to have
like
a microbrewery restaurant and a fire station, and then some type of residential development around it. Of course, you see the progress on the hotel. The Osceola track, that is starting, so that'll go up to Fifth Avenue. I'm sorry, Fifth Street. From 48 to Fifth Street.
Yes.
That won't take much to finish that.
Well, it'll be done in August.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That sounds. Any questions of staff?
I have just one other thing. I know we're running late, but as we schedule that community meeting for early March,
mm-hmm,
are there any? Since we've got a bus tour, usually when we have a community meeting, it'll be like 5:30 or so. But since we're going to have a bus tour component to this, we don't want to be out there after it's dark. So it'll probably have to be in the daytime sometime. Are there any days in the week that absolutely do not work for people?
Well, business Monday and Fridays are not the best, so Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I think everybody would agree.
Is there any specific time, like?
I would say 3:30 to 4, no earlier than 4.
Okay, so have it like around the end of the day.
Those that are interested, we can stay late or do whatever, but don't ruin a day.
Roll the bus, all right.
Yeah, we can do the bus tour first.
Where do you plan to have the meeting? Where would it be?
I don't know, we'd have to figure out a spot for it.
Maybe we can go, what's it, ask the bakery of Yonan Shop, we can use their place. That way, right there.
Yeah, that's good.
A coffee shop is probably not big enough, but you're welcome to use our place too. That's always.
How many can you fit in there?
35 on one side and 25 on the other, but.
That might be big enough.
That would be a good place.
Yeah.
And it's close.
Yeah.
You're right there.
So we could have it in Moxon's office building.
No.
Let me mention one thing real quick to our group, the North Magnolia Business Community Group. On our meeting in February, it's second Monday, second Tuesday, my very, very, very good friend is the project manager for the hotel, works for McLaughlin, building the hotel, and he's going to come give us a little talk. And he's going to bring some information and answer questions, and y'all are all welcome if you like. It'll be the second Tuesday in February, and it'll be at Ken's place.
I think it's really appropriate. Let me give you, staff, a summary of what we have done. We are now the North Magnolia Business District.
Community.
We don't know what, I don't even know what we are. Anyway, whatever we are, we were, and we still are. But we did not, in years past, we have sent out dues bills, and we did not do that. And the reason is that we had a hard time coming to grips with taking somebody's money and not feeling like we could give anything in return. Mm-hmm. And so we chose not to do that. And we are going to embark on an advertising program to advertise our neighborhood. You know, we would not have done this if we could have gathered some money to have a part-time staff person. But those monies were not available to us. And we can't, without a staff person, and you all have gloriously, we're so grateful that you're going to do a newsletter and we can contribute into that. So we just really reached the point that we want to tell everybody that, you know, you're part of our neighborhood, we're working for your best interest, and
paragraph on that, and you should put that in the newsletter.
Mm-hmm. And so we felt comfortable to do that because, you know, we're grateful for the 22 years, we're so grateful to the staff for what you all have allowed us to do and for what you've done for us, but we really got to the point where we felt like we need to move forward, and we're looking for, you know, Ken Cabrera coming on board has just been a great thing, and we're looking for others that can help with the transition and have a fresh set of eyes to look at things.
Thanks, Clark.
Anybody else got any comments or questions? Thank you. I'll consider it adjourned.
Sounds good to me.
I'll be late
for
my time.
I'll be
it.
Oh, no, I got a
hold of you.
I see houses for sale over there. Is that something we're interested in, or just more?
Oh, y'all be it.
Yeah.
Back in that neighborhood.